Welcome to episode 61 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip, man. You feel what I'm saying? Hey, man, we sitting here on Christmas Eve, just finished watching the dog game between the Cowboys and the Dolphins, man. If you watched that game, if you tuned into that game, it was definitely a fun game to watch. It was a very intense back-and-forth game. You didn't know, no team really pulled away. The biggest lead was 9 points. It was a back-and-forth game, even especially in the fourth quarter. Didn't know who was going to come down to win, but at the end of the day, them Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, won a big game at home versus a winning team for the first time in what? I think they said it since early this season or last season. This was the first big game they won versus a winning team in a long time. I seen a stat that said that. And you know they always had this little thing with Miami, like, well, y'all only winning against teams that's weak and y'all only beating on teams that's, you know, not even that good. And they have that. I mean, they play the Jets at times. They play the Patriots. You know, this year they also played they played some bad teams this year. They played, you know, they beat on the Broncos when the Broncos is pretty bad, put up 70 on them. Beat on the Chargers are pretty bad. Beat on the Giants and the Panthers, Raiders. So they had their fair share of losses, right? I mean, of wins versus bad teams. But this was a good game, man. Shout out to Jason Sanders, the Miami kicker. He was 5 for 5 today. He had over, I think it was 3 50-yard field goals. This game, over 3 of them. The first field goal he had was 57-yarder. So you already know he was going to come out turn. Your first kick being a 57-yard field goal, the first one, just know every time he kicked the ball from that whole game, for the rest of that game, he's knocking it in for sure. So shout out to him. The final score of the Cowboys-Dolphins game, Dolphins 22, Cowboys 20. Let's go through the team stats. The time of possession was fairly even. Dolphins had the ball for 29 minutes. Cowboys had the ball for 31 minutes. Cowboys had 339 yards to the Dolphins, 375 yards. Passing yards are fairly even as well. Dolphins had 284. Cowboys had 242. Rushing yards, quite the same. Cowboys had 97. Dolphins had 91. Cowboys had 19 first downs. Dolphins had 22. Cowboys had 6 penalties. Dolphins had 5 penalties. The Dolphins had a turnover. Did they? Am I tripping? Somebody fumbled, right? Yeah, it was a fumble. Somebody fumbled at the line of scrimmage. I think it was the fullback. The Cowboys fumbled. Cowboys fumbled on the 1 yard line at the beginning of the game. Number 40 had, I guess it was a mishap with the snap or the handoff, some type of whatever between the quarterback and the fullback. They fumbled the ball, and the Dolphins got the ball back on their 1 yard line. So, Cowboys being on the 1 yard line, going in 1 yard to score a touchdown, they fumble. That is not what you want to do. You do not want to give the ball to your fullback right there when he has. I have not seen number 40 all year. They gave the ball to number 40 like 4 times on the first drive. The first drive he got the ball, he got like a couple third and shorts. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they handed the ball off to him on 4th and 1 as well. So he had like a catch, 2 carries or 3 carries on the first drive. But when I'm on the 1 yard line, I got to put the ball in my playmaker's hands. I had to put the ball in Dak's hands. I had to put the ball in CeeDee Lamb's hands. I had to put the ball in Tony Pollard's hands. And Tony Pollard did get the ball around that time. He had got like a little toss to the left. And it looked like he had the corner, but he cut back at the last minute. And the linebacker or the safety was able to keep him out of the end zone. It looked like he should have just outran him to the pylon and got in the end zone. But he tried to cut back. And Tony Pollard is a smaller guy, so they was able to, like, damn near clothesline him and keep him out of the end zone. And that cost you points. Obviously, they didn't get 7 or 3 points from that drive. And they lost the game by 2 points. So I'm sure they're going to go back to that because that possession right there meant something. You need points in this league. You cannot give up points. You cannot leave points on the board. You need to get the all the points you can get. Let's talk about Dak. Let's talk about, you know, their stats. He was 20 for 32, 253 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was sacked 4 times. Running game really didn't get going like that. Dolphins played good versus the run. They was good versus the pass as well. Both defenses played pretty well today. There was only 3 touchdowns today. The Dolphins only scored 1 touchdown, and that was to like a mesh route with the running back on the 1-yard line. They kind of get busy up in there. He goes in there and mesh route. The guy that's covering him got clogged up in the cluster in between the 5-yard line. So Mostert was able to catch the ball freely, wide open on a touchdown. That was the only Dolphins touchdown for the whole day. They kicked 5 field goals, 15 points, 7 points equal 22. The Cowboys had 2 passing touchdowns. I mean, Dak had 2 passing touchdowns. The first half, really the first quarter, CeeDee Lamb had 4 catches for 93 yards in the first quarter. He caught it like a slant route, ran that 49 yards, broke some tackles, made some people miss, and scored a touchdown. That was in the first quarter. So the first quarter, CeeDee Lamb had 93 yards on 4 catches. The rest of that game, he had around 30 yards for 2 catches. So they kind of locked him down at that time. I wouldn't even say 30 yards, but 25 yards for 2 catches for the rest of for the last 3 quarters for CeeDee Lamb. You have to find ways to get him the ball. It wasn't like Jalen Ramsey was following him. Xavier wasn't following him. They was just, you know, playing their defense. They was doing their thing. But you have to find ways to get your playmakers the ball. You have to find ways to get your playmakers the ball. If that's on the reverse, like they even CeeDee Lamb, they handed him off the ball in the backfield. Like he was the running back, and they just handed him the ball out of a shotgun. So they're trying to find ways to give him the ball, but they got to keep him involved. He has to stay involved because he's one of the most dangerous weapons in the NFL. Definitely one of the most dangerous receivers in the league as well. He's having an all-pro season for sure, Pro Bowl season for sure. So you got to give him the ball. Tober made a catch over X. I thought X was about to go up and get that boy. I swear I'm looking like, oh, X about to go get this one. I didn't see him make all those type of picks in practice. I seen him make them in the game. He see the ball thrown. He see it in the air. You don't even need to look at it for a long time in the air to go up and get it. I seen him make that play 10 times out of 10 times. But sometimes, you know, the receiver can make a play on the ball as well. But X was right there. Did his thing. Continue to do your thing, brother. I'm locked in. But I want to say this about the Cowboys, man. Like I said, their defense did play well, but they didn't get stops when they needed to get stops. They didn't even get no sacks until they only got 1 sack. And they didn't get a lot of pressures either. Like, I expect Lawrence and Micah Parsons to get sacks. I expect Micah Parsons to disrupt games. He haven't really been disrupting games like that as of late. Like, we're going to be honest. I think he is a dope player. I think he is electric. But his presence is not felt every game like the Myles Garrett's, like the TJ Watts. You feel me? Like the Nick Bosa's. His game is really felt in the pass. But versus the run, you really want to run right at Micah Parsons. You want to wear him down. You want to run right at him because he's not 280 pounds, 290 pounds. He's around like probably 250 pounds, maybe 260. But you want to run right at him. You want to have your guards hit him, your tight ends hit him, your tackles hit him, your fullback chip him. You want to have all of these guys kind of wearing him down throughout the whole game. So by the fourth quarter, you know, he's tired. You know, he don't want to, you know, make that extra push. He don't want to make that extra rush. He don't want to, you know, contain that edge. These are things that I'm seeing a little bit. I want to see Micah Parsons, like, take over games. Like, this was a game he could have took over. Like, Chubb made some plays. Bradley Chubb, he made some plays for the Dolphins. If it was forcing the incomplete pass, quarterback hurries, quarterback hits, like, he made plays. Bradley Chubb had, let's see. He had 1.5 sacks, but he should have had 2.5 because one of the ones he got there and he got there and kind of Dak kind of spent out of it a little bit. He forced the incompletion and made it. I think it was on third down as well. But he's affecting the game. I need to see Micah affecting the game like that. I need to see Micah affecting the game. But I'm going to say this. It was the fourth quarter. Dak had multiple drives to win this game. He had multiple chances to make plays in this game. Now, the throw he made to Brandon Cooks to go up in the lead, that was a good throw. That was dope right there. But they had damn near eight or nine plays to make it because they got a pass interference on fourth down. Then they got a whole nother set of, you feel me, a whole nother first and goal set of downs. So they had like literally nine plays in between the 10-yard line. So, but prior to that, I want to see him make plays. This was a Dak game. I want to see it. Like, this is what I want to see, bro. This is what they be talking about when they say, hey, are you a game manager or are you a game changer? Dak didn't have any game-changing moments in his game. Like, he was – I'm not going to say he was bailed out because the dude did held, you know, in the end zone. They did hold. But it was some third downs where it's like there was nothing open. There was nothing happening for him to make a play. You feel me? It was open for him to make a play, but they got a hold in or they got a this. Like, it was kind of like they kind of took it out of his hands and kind of put it in the ref hands. I want to see him make plays. And in the second half, I didn't see it like that. I didn't see it. Like, he can make throws. Dak Prescott can make throws. But I just know a game changer when I see one. I'm not saying Dak Prescott is not a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. That's what I think. I think you know how people felt about Alex Smith? I think Dak is in that category. And I think Alex Smith was better than Dak Prescott. But I think that's what I kind of see when I look at Dak Prescott. Like, you got to understand, the Chiefs moved on from him. The 49ers moved on from Alex Smith. They drafted him number one overall. They moved on. He went on to play another, like, damn near 8-9 years, right? They moved on from him. The Chiefs moved on from him. So that's all I'm saying about Dak Prescott. I do not see game changer. I see a good quarterback. Like, I think this is the perfect moment to go out there and will your team to a win. Not by a field goal, not by any of that. Like, he could have scored way more points in the first half, too. There was opportunities in the first half for him to go out there and score points. There was opportunities for him in the third quarter to score points. But he's in there. He's in a opposing team territory multiple times, but he's kicking field goals. The two field goals he kicked, the two field goals they kicked, they were in the opposing team territory, and he could have made plays to where they didn't have to kick the field goal. They could have scored touchdowns. He didn't make those plays, and that's what we're talking about. But I ain't here to bash on Dak Prescott. We're going to see what is going on. Tua did his thing. Great. It was a great game plan by McDaniels. I like his game plan. Get the ball out of Tua's hands quick. Tariq was on and off and on and off. They lost Waddle in like early third quarter. They lost Chosen Robinson in the first half. So they was down to Tyreek Hill, number zero, I think that's Berrios, something. And Cedric Wilson. So they was down to their 4 and 5 receiver. And shit, Mostert was even hurt as well. So they was making things happen with the limited resources that they had. And I think that's good about Tua. Like, I would say Dallas kind of contained Tyreek Hill. His longest catch was 20 yards. He had 9 catches for 99 yards. That's a great game for a lot of receivers in the NFL right now. For Tua, I mean, we know Tua, he done went over 150 yards, I think, like, damn near 7 to 8 times this year. So, you know, 99 yards is just like, oh, you know, I it's a good game. It's a good game for a lot of other receivers in the league, but they kind of contained Tua pretty well. They stayed over top of him. They didn't let him get behind him like that. They rolled coverages to him. They just kept eyes on him. Great game plan for that, for sure, for sure. But Tua looked good, man. Tua looked good. I'm not going to say he went out there and won the game. He did. They had enough time. They was in a perfect situation. They got the ball back down by one with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left, and they had two timeouts. That's the regular offense. I ain't got to speed nothing up. I ain't got to worry about nothing. They milked the whole time off the clock. 3 minutes. The whole 3 minutes, they kept converting on third down. They was making plays. They was moving the ball. And they got all the way inside the 10-yard line to kick the game-winning field goal. And that's a great possession by them. Because they could have scored early. They could have scored quick. They could have scored with a minute 20 on the clock and gave the ball back to Dak. And now he got a chance to, you know, make a miracle happen. But they didn't. Tua managed that last possession very, very great. It looks totally different from him managing the possessions against the Titans like two Mondays ago. Remember on Monday night against the Titans when they was up by 14 points with under 4 minutes left? Look how this possession went this past game, and look how it went that last time. He grown from that. You can see the growth in Tua's game right there. Just the last 4 minutes of the game, you can see his growth. So shout out to Tua, man. Shout out to the Dolphins, man. I'm always gonna show love to the Dolphins. I picked the Dolphins today on the upset because I just thought that I just didn't really believe in Dallas like that. I got some homies on Dallas squad, but I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the game. I know I got drafted to the 305, so you already know. I'm a Dolphin for life, and they playing good, and I want to see them continue to play good. So, great win for Miami, man. They did their thing. Love it, and they moving on next week. They go into Baltimore next week. It's going to get spooky in Baltimore, but hey, got to make it happen. Got to make it happen. Let's move on to the Lions and the Vikings. Shout out to the Detroit Lions for becoming the NFC North champions, division champions for the first time in 30 years. For the first time since 1993. For the first time in the NFC North ever. Great coaching by Dan Campbell and the whole coaching staff. Great play by the offense. Ben Johnson calling them plays. Jared Goff managing the game. Great draft. I told y'all that draft. I told y'all the Lions draft. I told this on an off the top show that I host with my boy RJ Sheldon. Shout out to you, homie. I told y'all the Lions, Detroit Lions draft class this year is easily the best draft class this entire, like the whole draft. Gibbs, Laporta, Campbell, and Branch. They all are consistent playmakers for this team right now. Branch making INTs. He has six tackles. He should have two interceptions. He dropped one early in the game in the red zone. He dropped that one. Then he came back and caught another one. He had a sack, two PBUs, one forced fumble. Damn. Hold up, man. Brian Branch, a rookie playing like a vet. He had six tackles, one sack, one INT, two PBUs, and one forced fumble. And he should have had two INTs, but he dropped one. That's a hell of a day right there. He's a Lion for life. I'm telling y'all, this draft class is crazy. Them boys are good. Them boys are ballers for sure. They making plays all over that field, man. Shit, the Lions caught four interceptions today anyway. That was all over the field. That was Ball Hawk and Kirby. Kirby Joseph had two INTs. And number six, Melafuninani. I don't know how to say his name, but he had two sacks, two TFLs, one INT, and two PBUs. Man, the secondary was just balling out today. Secondary was balling out. Wide receivers, St. Brown balling out. He's about to get a $100 million contract from the Lions. 12 catches, 106 yards, one touchdown. Even Jameson Williams, he had five catches for 43 yards, inserting his name into the playmaking ability. He's becoming, you know, he's getting more comfortable and more comfortable. Laporta 3-for-18. Gibbs 4-for-20. Raymond 2-for-29. Gibbs had 15 carries for 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Montgomery 17 carries for 55 yards, 1 touchdown. So a lot of guys are getting touches on this offense, and everybody is eating. What A Boogie said, everybody eats, B. Everybody eats, B. They all eating with the Lions right now. They looking good, man. This was the game for the division. They are officially hosting a home playoff game in the first round. Who knows if it's going to be versus the Rams or the or the Seahawks, probably. Maybe the shit. I think that's who it's going to be. One of them. Yeah, we never know. The Vikings might sneak up in there. Who knows? But the Lions put on performance today, man. Great win for the Lions. They won the champs. I told my boy Rex, he talking about, man, you done doubted the Lions the last couple days. the last couple weeks, man. Da, da, da. You better talk about it on the pod. I'm talking about it right now, big dog. I always throw a little reverse psychology in there, too. I be talking that shit because I just want to see if the Lions going to really step up and take the win. You feel me? So I just want to put a little bit more pressure on them because I like doing that. You feel me? I ain't doubting the Lions, but I knew it wasn't gonna be easy walking into Minnesota and playing today. You feel what I'm saying? Like, especially how Minnesota played last week. They lost to the Bengals last week, but they put up a fight. They played really well, and they probably shouldn't have lost that game last week. It came down to overtime. Da da da. But I knew at home it was gonna be tough. Justin Jefferson playing, Addison playing. Nick Mullins was looking all right last week. He came out and threw 4 turnovers today, but he threw for over 400 yards. So wide receivers was, eating the Lions defense up. Even though they had PBUs and INTs, they still gave up 400 yards passing for sure. But great win for the Lions, man. Shout out to the city, man. I know we hype, we live, we hosting the playoff game for the first time in forever. I know the last couple times they've been to the playoffs, they played the Cowboys and I played the Saints. And I think both of those was away because we ain't won a division, so we definitely have a home playoff game. So this is the first home playoff game in damn near what, 30 years? Damn, that's crazy. But it's love, though. It shows how committed the franchise is. It shows just Detroit, man. You know how we rock, man. You know how we is, man. Y'all from the D, y'all know how we is. And that team playing like they from Detroit. You feel me? They playing with that brand of Detroit. Tough. You feel me? Like, hard nose, in your face, in your grill, talking shit. Like, that's how he is. So, shout out to them, man. I think the Vikings look smooth, man. Justin Jefferson, 6 catches for 141, 1 touchdown. Best receiver in the game. I want him to leave Minnesota, though. I'm telling you, hear me out. Kansas City got $33 million a year for you, brother. You can sign a 3-year deal for $33 million a year. That's $100? You can put some incentives on there. You can get over 80, 90 guaranteed, and you will still be able to hit the free agency at 27. Go and play with Patrick Mahomes, bro. Just think about Patrick Mahomes and Justin Jefferson on the same squad with Travis Kelce. Man, that'd be crazy. That'd be like damn near Steph and KD. You can't tell me that wouldn't be Steph and KD. Justin Jefferson and Patrick Mahomes? Man, that's Steph and KD or that's D-Wade and LeBron. I'm just saying, which one y'all think it is? Which one y'all think it's closer to? Y'all let me know. But shout out to the Lions for winning the division, man. Like I said, first time since 1993. First time in 30 years. Well earned. They put in hard work. They've been balling. They stayed committed. Now it's time to take it. Why it's time to win a playoff game? Because in the playoffs, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, Jared. So you got to bring that. You got to bring that muscle. All right, moving on from there, let's talk about the Browns and the Texans. That was a good game today. Shout out to Joe Flacco, man. He got this offense looking better than it looked all year. This offense looked like it's just flowing so easily right now. It looked like he's getting the ball out of his hands. He's making the throws. He has made David Njoku a better football player. David Njoku always had the intangibles and the talent to be good. But Joe Flacco has made him a better football player, like I said. Njoku had six catches for 44 yards. But he also didn't had like, he's had multiple, let's see. The last 3 weeks. Let's just go for the last 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks, David Njoku had, what's this? 22 catches. And damn near 250 yards. And 4 touchdowns. He's getting a rock. So, I just said he didn't have 22 catches, right? For 240, 250 yards, right? Did y'all see Amari Cooper today? I don't know if y'all tuned into this beast, bro. Amari Cooper was a beast. He came out of the same class as me. I remember being at the combine with him. Quiet, silly dude. Quiet and silly at the same time. But I've always thought his game was so precise and so explosive and so, like, elite. From the first time I seen him at Alabama, I'm like, bro, he got it. He a fucking dog. And he going to play a long time in the league. And this is, what, year 9 for him, I think? Or probably year 10? His numbers today, he had 11 catches today for 265 yards and 2 tutties. Franchise record for the Cleveland Browns by a receiver. He just broke it. Oh, my. 265? Man. And Dallas gave up him? Oakland let him go? Is they serious? Dallas really let him go. And he dropping 265 yards receiving in one game. Man. Still top 3 route runners in the game to this day. He's an animal, man. Shout out to Amari Cooper, man. Still going wild. Still going wild. But like I said, man, no running game either. The Browns had a total of 54 rushing yards today. Joe Flacco had 27. He was 27-42. 368 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So out of the 368 passing yards he had, 265 of them went to one person. So only 103 yards were distributed to the other guys, to all the other pass catchers on the field. Man. Joe Flacco got this offense looking good. He has his team looking good. The Browns are literally, they're on a three-game winning streak. They last 7 games, they 5. No, let me go that. They last 8 games, they're 6-2. Their last 8 games, they are 6-2. And Joe Flacco has been a starter since, let's see. He's been a starter since week 13. So his first start was a loss. They lost to the Rams. But then they won against the Jaguars, won against the Bears, and won against Houston. And they played the Jets and the Bengals the last 2 games, which I'm assuming they should win both of those games. And they should seal their spot in the playoffs as the 5 seed. And they'll be 12-5. They win these last 2 games, they'll be the 5 seed. And they would probably play the Jaguars or all of the AFC North or the AFC South lost today. So I think they all tied again. They still, the Jaguars, the Colts, and the Texans are 8-7. So they still tied again. So they all lost. Nobody separated themselves. So, but Joe Flacco got this offense looking great, man. Joe Flacco got this offense looking great. Like I said, he's elevated the play of Amari Cooper. I mean, he elevated the play of Amari Cooper, but he found a way to get Amari Cooper the ball. Amari Cooper has been balling the last few weeks. David Njoku has been balling the last few weeks. This offense has looked clean. So shout out to this team. The defense looking good. Miles Garrett going to get back in the sack, the sack column as these weeks come. But Miles Garrett, I'm sure he's affecting the game because that's just the type of guy he is. Their defense getting healthier. Denzel Ward's back out there. Newsom. Watch out for them Browns, man. Watch out for them Browns. They're going to be a tough outing in the playoffs because they got defense. Defense travels. They probably going to have the best player on the field wherever whoever they play again in the playoffs. Miles Garrett is arguably the best player on any field he step on. So any field he step on, he can show that why he's the best player and affect the whole game. So watch out for them Browns, man. They're going to be serious. Obviously, the Texans don't have their quarterback. Like I said, C.J. Stroud was out 2 weeks with a concussion. They have lost the last two games. Have they lost the last two games? No, they won last week against the Titans, and they lost this week. Yeah, they just got to get their quarterback back, man. They just got to get their quarterback back because they still fighting for a playoff spot as well. They are 8-7 right now. They're sitting in a 9 seed right now. And it's going to be tough because they're going to have to win. They have, who is the rest of their schedule looking like? They got two division games. They play the Titans next week at home, and then they end the season at the Colts. So they're going to have to win both of these games to make the playoffs for sure. Especially two games in the division is going to be tight because the Colts are tied with them as well. The Titans are not. The Titans are 5-10. They knocked themselves out of the playoffs. But it's going to be tough. 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 So great game by them, though, man. Great game by the Browns. The Browns ain't playing, man. I'm telling you, people better not take them light. Because if they win these last two games, they'll be heading to the playoffs on a 5-game winning streak. Joe Flacco playing well. The receivers playing well. The defense playing well. They clicking. And they can upset somebody in that wild card round. If it's Jacksonville or whoever win that AFC South division, they're going to lose. Like, I don't care. I think even if it's Jacksonville, if Cleveland have to travel to Jacksonville for week one of the playoffs, Cleveland is going to win. Cleveland is going to go in there and win. And if they got to travel anywhere else in that division, if somebody else win that division, they're going to win. So Cleveland are definitely going to advance that first round and probably going to play maybe the Ravens. I don't know because the Bills going to be the sixth seed too. So they're going to have Bills going to have something to say too. The wild card and the AFC going to get real. We're going to see though. But let's move on to a couple more games from Sunday. Obviously, there's games tomorrow, actually on Christmas. There's three NFL games tomorrow. I don't think NFL has never played on Christmas. I think this is the first time. So that's going to be a unique, you know, event in it, within itself. But let's move on to the Jaguars and the Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield's been balling out the last. He's the comeback player of the year to me. He's been balling out the last 3 weeks. He kind of been doing his thing this entire season. 26 for 35, 283 yards, two touchdowns, without really a running game. I mean, White had 20 carries for 39 yards. That's no running game. That's literally, 1 yard a carry? 1.5 yards a carry on some bullshit. 2 yards a carry, if that. Not even two. But Mike Evans balling out, 7 catches, 86 yards, two touchdowns. Godwin, 6 catches, 78 yards. Palmer, 4 for 42. White has 6 for 38. God, he's getting his guys the ball on time, in stride, and he's protecting them with the way he's throwing the ball as well. So shout out to Baker Mayfield, man. He's blocked out a lot of noise. He's made fucking plays, man. Made throws, man. He got this team in the playoff. Look what they're the fourth seed. The Buccaneers are the fourth seed right now. The Buccaneers, who they finish the season with? They play New Orleans next week. at home, and they play Carolina on the road for the last game. So they should win both of these games. New Orleans, they don't have it. Carolina, they don't have it. But it's division games, so division games are always tough, and one of these teams are going to try to spoil it for Tampa. So Tampa has to win these games, and they win the division for sure. So they'd be the fourth seed, and they'll probably play the Eagles or the Cowboys. Because right now, the 49ers, since the Lions won today, the Lions are in the two seed because the Cowboys lost. So the Lions are 11-4, 3-2 in their division. The Cowboys are 10-4, 4-1 in their division. But the Cowboys lost. So they went down to the three seed. But I think the Eagles win tomorrow, they'll be 11-4, and they'll jump to the third seed over the Cowboys because the Cowboys lost. Cowboys are on a two-game losing streak. And that's not good. They got their ass whooped last week by the Cowboys. They got their ass beat last week by the Bills. And then came into this game this week and lost to another squad out of that division, out of that Bills division, and the Dolphins. Primetime game. Both of them was. So they gotta make something shake. But the Buccaneers look good, man. They look good. Losing a guy like Tom Brady last year, him retiring, you don't know how the team is going to be, how they're going to react. But they look good. They look good. You can't say nothing about it. Pass game going good. Coaching is looking good. Guys are making plays on defense. And they just look good. The Jaguars look stinky. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, I got hurt again today. I guess it was like some type of shoulder injury. But prior to his injury, he was making no plays. He had two interceptions. He loves throwing the ball to the other team. And it's something I don't see with Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think I have to see it over more time. But there's something missing from his game. There's something missing. I just can't put my hand on it right now. But I think he has the intangibles down, I think he at least has the intangibles. I don't think he's a real clutch quarterback like that, though. But sometimes he can show up in moments. I don't know. It's just something. I just need more time to see what type of, game changer or game manager player he is. I just need some time. I just need a little bit more, a little bit more games to watch and a little bit more, see him in some moments where he has to win. You feel me? I got to see him in moments where he has to win and see what he does with that pressure. Jaguars been losing games. Jaguars have literally lost four games in a row. Jaguars was 6-2. They were 8-3. Up until week 13. They were 8-3. And then they just lost four games in a row. Now, I think they're going to win next week. They play Carolina at home versus Carolina. And then they travel the last week of the season to Tennessee and play Tennessee. So we're going to see how that goes. But I just don't know. I just think they're just a fugazi team right now. I think the Jags are... I don't know. I don't think they should be taken serious right now. They shouldn't be taken serious. They're one of them teams that's trying to become serious. They're trying to show that they can play with the guys. But they're just not quite there yet. So we shall see. Moving on from that, Jets Commanders, 30-28. Jets won. Jets was up 27-7. Commanders came back all the way in the fourth quarter. And took the lead 28-27. And then the Jets came and kicked the field goal to win a game. Washington need to change their uniform. Washington need a total reset. They need to change everything. The name. They need to do the same thing the Wizards are doing. They need to move to Virginia or something like that. Change everything. Because they just don't have it. They just don't have it. You can't change the name and don't change the uniform colors or anything like that. They just need to change everything with that organization. Moving on from that. Packers, Panthers. Packers went on the road, won a game, 33-30. Looked like they had a good control of this game, and then the Panthers started to make a rally at the end, just like the Jets and Commanders game. But the Packers held on to the lead just as well like the Jets held on to the lead, and they won 33-30. Aaron Jones, a sight to see. He had 21 carries, 127 yards. He was making plays all over the field. Some wide receivers made some catches. Dobbs had 4 catches, 79 yards, 1 touchdown. Tight end Kraft, 4 catches, 60 yards. Some guys are making plays. Jordan Love looked like he's getting more comfortable. He just still needs experience. Still need more experience, more experience, more experience. And I think that's going to be good for him. I think it's going to be good for him for sure. So, great win for the Packers. They are in the 10th spot right now at 7-8. They might not make the playoffs, but we shall see. We shall see who they end the season with. They play at Minnesota next week, and then they end the season at home versus Chicago. So we shall see how that turns out. 2 division games to end the season. Let's see what happens. Panthers need to find weapons for Bryce Young in this offseason. Find him a line that can block for him. Because he has talent. He's just really, really small. So you need guys to protect him. You need weapons on the outside that can make plays for him. And Panthers just need to go shopping. They need to go shopping this offseason. Moving on from that, The Colts did not win. The Falcons beat the Colts 29-10. They beat him with a backup quarterback, Tyler Heinicke. You've seen him come in and win games before as a backup quarterback for the Washington Commanders, for another couple teams. He's like the ultimate backup quarterback. You like what he do when he come in. I thought the Colts was going to win because they needed to win. They could have became the division leaders today if they would have won. But, you know, sometimes a little bit too much pressure, and it is what it is. They lost that game, though. Jesse Bates balled out, caught another in his INT. I think he's damn near lead the league in INTs. All-pro safety, for sure, Pro Bowl. Sign him up for it. He doing his thing. Got his bag, got that defense playing well, got the secondary communicating. Leadership is something you can't pay for, man. He doing his thing. And last but not least from the games today was the Seahawks and the Titans. Seahawks won 20-17. They literally caught themselves in the same predicament they were in last week. They were down 17-13 with like the last few minutes of the game, and they needed a touchdown, and they got a touchdown. Geno Smith drove them all the way down there and got a touchdown. So shout out to Geno. Definitely drove his squad down there to give him the ball. He was 25-36, 227 yards, 2 touchdowns. K9. Kenny Walker, 16 carries, 54 yards. Lockett had 8 catches for 81 yards. Jackson Smith Njigba had 6 catches, 61 yards. Metcalf had 4 catches, 56 yards, and 1 touchdown. And Parkinson had 1 touchdown. So the guys on the outside is making plays, man. They, like I said, this is a talented offense. Now, they don't click all the time, but this Seattle offense is really talented. Really talented, like really talented. And if they ever like get to their peak talent, peak like level of play, they can be as explosive as any offense in the league. For sure. So shout out to them for getting that win, being down 17-3. Like I said, the same position they was in last week. And they made plays. They made it happen again. And they needed this win to keep themselves in the playoff hunt. They now sit at the 7th seed right now because the Vikings lost and they won. So if the playoffs started today, Seattle will have to travel all the way to Detroit and play the Detroit Lions. And if I'm not mistaken, let me see real quick. Yes, they did. The Seahawks traveled to Detroit in week 2 this year and beat the Lions 37-31. So, if the playoffs started today, they will play each other again at home. The Lions will host a playoff game at home versus Seattle, and we'll see who really wins. We'll see who's the real team. We're going to see who's going to win. So, playoffs is looking good, man. Playoffs run is looking good. Some big games tomorrow. You got Kansas City. There's pop-off tomorrow games with Kansas City versus the Raiders. I got Kansas City. Another game, the other game tomorrow is the Eagles versus the Giants. I have the Eagles. They have a lot of internal noise going on right now, so they have to make some things happen. They need a win. That'll quiet some things down. They need a good win, too. And then you end it off with maybe a Super Bowl preview. The Ravens versus the 49ers. Two 11-3 teams, two top five offenses, two top five defenses, two MVP candidates at quarterback. I think they are the top two MVP candidates at quarterback in Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy. They got weapons on the outside, weapons in the inside. This is going to be a physical game. This is going to be one of them games that's won like 27-24, or I would say 24-20, something like that. And this is who I'm picking for tomorrow night's game, Monday night. I got the Ravens going into San Francisco and winning. I got Lamar, because think about it. Who is the best player on the field tomorrow? And don't think too hard. Who is the best player on the field tomorrow when the Ravens and the 49ers play each other? It's Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the best player on the field. Hands down. I don't want to hear nothing else. So putting him right there, him making plays, if he go out there and have a day in the other squad, make things happen, man, oh, man, oh, man. Man, oh, man, oh, man. It can be a legendary day for him. And he can really wake up the NFL eyes like, I told y'all can get a Super Bowl out of me. What'd he say at the combine? He says, y'all can get a Super Bowl out of me. Believe that. That's what he said. Let him go out there and ball out tomorrow night, which I feel like he is going to do. I got the Ravens winning tomorrow night. That's what it is. That's what it is. But to end this segment, in this pod tonight, I wanted to briefly talk about switch it over, you know, to hoops, man. Got to switch it over to the hoops, man. LeBron James. Lakers versus OKC on a Saturday night. Lakers was on a four-game losing streak prior to that. Four-game losing streak. And what they go into OKC and do. They literally been on the road for the last 2 weeks. They was in Vegas for a week damn near, from Monday all the way till Saturday, basically. And then that next Monday they played on Tuesday. So they played Dallas on Tuesday. So they was in Texas that whole week. So they literally been gone for 2 weeks. You feel what I'm saying? They've been on the road. But this is a great win for the Lakers. The Oklahoma City is a good team. Don't play. Please don't play. Oklahoma City is ranked number 3 right now in the East. In the West. What are they? They are ranked number 3 right now. One game back from the 2 seed. They are a nice, nice, nice team right now. They got an MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous. They have Chet Holmgren, that's a Rookie of the Year candidate. They got, was it Jalen Williams, number 8? He a baller, bro. He's an underrated baller. Lou Dort, they have Joe. They got the other Williams. They got a couple Williams on their squad that can ball. Like, they have a squad. They got a young squad. So this wasn't an easy win, bro. Like, and y'all already know how people show up versus the Lakers. Brian coming to your town, you going to play. You going to play hard. You going to want to, you feel me, make that a moment. Because you playing against shit. When you playing against, it's like if anybody played against Jordan right now, you feel me? Like, you going to want to make it a moment because it ain't going to be too many more of these moments. You want to go up against the best if you the best. You want to play, make a highlight or something like that versus the greatest player of all time. So you can, you know, bookmark that, screenshot that, you know, put it on a poster, put it on your wall. You feel me? You want to do that. So that's the pressure, which is good pressure, that the Lakers are faced with every time they play somebody. Somebody out there want to, you know, they going to show up. They're going to show up ready to go and focus. But LeBron James, 40 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He was 13 for 20 from the field, 5 for 5 from the three-point line, 9 for 9 from the free throw line. He had 2 blocks, 2 steals. He was a plus 10 from the field. He had 15 points in the fourth quarter as well. 3 for 3 from the three-point line in the fourth quarter as well. This in year 21. He's still dominating and taking over games in year 21. Every time he scores, he breaks his own record. Every single time. He's under 650 points from being the first player to ever score 40,000 points. Just in the regular season, he been past all the points. He has over 48,000 points in the playoffs in the regular season combined. He been broke that like last year. Just dominance. Anthony Davis balled out. 26 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. That's the big thing right there. 1 for 1, 1 3. 2 blocks, 1 steal. He's just affecting the game. Anthony Davis has 7 assists. That just shows that he's balling. That shows that he's getting the ball out of his hand. He's recognizing the coverage that's being thrown at him because they double-teaming AD now. Every time he gets the ball, they double-teaming him. He's finding the open guy. And he's not turning the ball over. He's finding the open guy. He's doing his thing. Anthony Davis is, I tweeted this earlier today. Anthony Davis is literally playing the best basketball of his career right now. He's only missed, like, I would probably say 2 to 3 games. He's fighting. I'm not even going to say he's fighting through injuries. Like, it was one, I think it was a game, like, last week. He had sprained, he had rolled his ankle, damn near, like, rolled his ankle the first play of the game. And still in that same game came back and gave them 38 points. And then you know what? He played the next night versus the Spurs. He played in a back-to-back after a rolled ankle, played. And then rolled his ankle again, like, a couple games ago. And he hasn't missed no games, playing 24 minutes in the second half of games. So I see what type of time we on. I see what type of timing they on right there. Obviously, there was a lineup change. They put D'Angelo Russell on the bench. And they started Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Cam Reddish, Torian Prince, and Vando. That's who they started this past game. And they won. They was a plus right. They was out there. They won the rebounding. Rui actually came in, played 30 minutes. Rui played 30 minutes, had 21 points. Reeves played 28 minutes, had 11 points. And D'Lo played 17 minutes, had 15 points. Shit, if he can do that, do that. D'Lo, if you can do that, do that. If you can give us 15 points in 17 minutes, because I done seen you play games where you played 35 minutes and you had 5 points. That's what we don't need. We don't need you out there playing 30 plus minutes and only giving motherfuckers 9 points, 8 points, 7, 12. No, we need you to ball, D'Lo. You are like the third scorer that we need. If you're going to be that, be that. If you're not, then you can slide. That's what I see. Then you can slide. But Gabe Vincent, obviously, he's out. I think he has another surgery. Or he's contemplating, you know, he's working with his team to see if he need to have another surgery or a surgery on his knee. He'd be out probably like, I think, 2 to 3 months or something like that. I say trade him if we can. Trade him, get Caruso. He make $11 million, Caruso making $9 million. Trade him for Caruso. It ain't like he's going to play. Gabe is going to play. Bring back Caruso over here. We throw in a second round pick or something like that. Bring them back. But I like what the Lakers did. I just like when they play hard, bro. When they play hard, they can play with anybody. But they don't play hard all the time. Like, they don't play hard on a night-to-night basis. Like, they play like an older team, but they're not that old. Brian is old. Brian about to turn 39. Anthony Davis just turned 30. Nobody else is close. I don't think nobody else is 30. The rest of the whole squad is under 30. But they don't play with that energy all the time. They need to play with that energy all the time. So I say great win for the Lakers, man. Keep it up. Keep balling, man. I'm still trying to get Zach LaVine or Kyrie or Donovan Mitchell, though. I ain't playing with y'all. I'm still trying to get those because they need a, like I said before on previous episodes, they need a legit wide receiver that can go out there and make it happen on his own. They need a bucket getter. They need an elite bucket getter that can score points in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. They need a guy that can go out and score 10 points in the first quarter and start the game off right, where it don't always have to be LeBron or always have to be AD. That's just how I look at it. That's just me, though. But that's all I got for y'all, man. I threw in this little episode right here because I'm not going to drop an episode on Christmas. I'm going to watch the games, and I'm going to break down all the games, and I'm going to drop the next episode on Tuesday. So, man, happy holidays to y'all. Enjoy time with your family. Be thankful if you get something or if you don't get something, man. Just be thankful that you wake up and that you're here. Hug somebody, man. I think the world need more hugs. We doing too much talking at each other and 50-50 debates and men rights and gender roles and all this shit that's just confusing the hell out of the world, especially our younger folks. Just take this time to be grateful and be thankful for something, man. But that's all I got for y'all, man. Episode 61. Speak on the podcast. Lip out.